don't really know why it is, but a lot of people seem to think that they need to tell me that they believe in God. Hardly a week goes by without someone telling me, "Oh, I don't go to church, but I believe in God." Regularly, when I meet bereaved families, it's just the same. "Oh, I know that she didn't go to church, but she believed in God." Trouble is, that word believe, it can mean different things, can't it? For example, I believe in Donald Trump. Just in case, and I can tell from some of the heckling, I can tell that people are worried. All I mean by that is I acknowledge that he exists, but I want to have nothing whatsoever to do with him. On the other hand, I believe in Boris Johnson. I acknowledge that he exists. I've never met him. I guess he thinks he's doing his best, but it seems to me he hasn't got a clue about most things, let alone what life in Morton is like. I'm not sure he really cares, actually. Then again, I believe in Pope Francis. He seems, from what I've read, to be quite a good guy. I'd quite like to meet him in a way, but of course that's not going to happen. Where would our paths ever cross? Three slightly different meanings of the word believe. And actually, many of the people I've met who say they believe in God actually mean it in one of those ways. There are those who acknowledge that God exists, but they have no interest in him whatsoever. There are those who acknowledge that God exists, but think he's remote and irrelevant to life here. There are others who might acknowledge that God exists. They might even look up to him, but they have absolutely no conception whatsoever of knowing him. So when we talk about believing in God, which one of those is right? Or are any of them right? That might seem like a rather abstract sort of question. But just for a moment, think of what is probably still the best known, best loved verse in the Bible. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So what makes the difference between eternal life and perishing? Believing. And that means we need to be sure what the Bible means when it talks about believing, when it talks about faith. The stakes are really high. Believing, faith, in the Bible, they both have the same root. Believe is the verb, faith is the noun. There we are. Nick was putting Greek up last week, so I don't see why I shouldn't follow suit and do it again this week. And we need to make sure that how we understand what believe is what the Bible means by it. Our eternal destiny actually hangs on getting this one right. This morning, as Ollie said, we're continuing our summer series, Words of Life, looking at some of the most important words in the Bible. And this morning it is that word faith. So to help us begin to get a handle on that, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible, and Will is going to come and bound forward and read for us.
This reading is on page 1209 and is in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were condemned for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who was pleased by God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Will. And if you noticed, but just like John 3:16, that passage tells us how important it is to get our bearings right when it comes to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you've got a wrong understanding of faith, if what you think is faith isn't faith, then you might well find that what you're doing is not acceptable to God. So what is faith all about? What does faith mean? Well, there's the definition from the Chambers 20th Century Dictionary. Trust or confidence, belief in the statement of another, belief in the truth of revealed religion. That, I think, is a typical dictionary definition. Very academic, doesn't actually help me one bit, really. So how do people mostly think about faith? I guess that the average person, when they hear the word faith, thinks about something that is opposite to facts. Faith, uncertain. What we hope for, that sort of thing. Facts, that's what we can rely on. But where does Hebrews 11 begin? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Faith's got nothing to do with wishful thinking or fairy stories or anything like that. It has to do with placing confidence in things we can't see. The word most often used for faith in the Old Testament actually has its root as banging a peg into a firm rock. Something that's absolutely secure and dependable. You can trust your life on that. And that's our first challenge, really, because I guess normally 21st century people would go down the kind of line of seeing is believing. You've got to see something. You've got to be able to handle it with your five senses before you can believe it. But actually, the Bible says you've got that the wrong way around. Believing is seeing. You have to believe in order to make sense of anything. And faith says you can be sure of things you can't see. You can be sure of the future, not every individual element of it, but sure of what God has promised. You can be sure about God, even though we can't see him. That actually flags up, I think, something really important about faith. And that is that the word faith is meaningless unless it is faith in something or faith in someone. I have heard people say, oh, I'm a very spiritual person. Faith is so important to me. But it doesn't make sense. Faith in the abstract doesn't make sense. And you can work that out by just try changing the word faith for the word believe. Both the same word in the New Testament, basically. If somebody says to you, to believe is so important to me, and you say, believe what? And they say, well, just believe. Doesn't make any sense, does it? You can only believe in something or someone, and faith only makes sense if it's faith in something or in someone. Faith on its own doesn't exist. And Hebrews 11 says, the faith that matters is faith in God. And that's something we can be certain about, even if we can't see him. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. As a Christian, I believe that this world is here because God has created it. And I have to believe that by faith. I can't prove it by scientific methods. I can't prove that God created the world. But that's true of whatever anybody thinks about the origins of the world. But that doesn't mean that it isn't true. If you can't prove it, doesn't mean that it isn't true. Karl Popper was one of the great philosophers of the last century, and he said, truth is a stronger concept than provability. There's a load of things in this life which we know are true, but you can't actually prove them. Faith isn't irrational. Faith actually leads us to the truth. It takes facts and builds something on them. So you could say that faith starts with the head, with knowing who God is. Faith is faith in God, or much more common in the New Testament, it's faith in Jesus. It's being sure about him. And that is where people sometimes struggle. I mentioned a few weeks ago about the theologian Tom Wright when he was chaplain of Worcester College in Oxford, because students would come and tell him that they had lost their faith in God. So Tom would just sit them down and ask them to tell him all about the God they had lost their faith in. And he said that 9 times out of 10, he could tell them, it's okay, I don't believe in the God you've just described either. Instead of abandoning faith in God, they needed to have faith in the real God, the God revealed to us in the Bible. You see, for faith to mean anything, it has to be faith in something true. And when it comes to God, that means faith in what the Bible tells us about God. I have to say, little alarm bells always start ringing for me when I hear someone say, I like to think of God as. You heard them? I like to think of God as a higher power. Or the great architect. Or a boundless sea of love. But actually, what matters isn't what you'd like to think of God as. What matters is who God really is. And that's the God revealed in the Bible. So faith starts with knowing who God is. It starts with your head. And I guess that for a lot of people, if you talk about faith in God, that's the kind of thing that they mean. Oh, yes, I believe that God's there. Oh, yes, I believe there's a God. But that can't actually be enough. In his epistle, James tells us, you believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Just an intellectual belief in God, no matter how true it is not what the Bible means by faith. And to help us see that, Hebrews 11 introduces us to one of the more shadowy figures from the early part of the Bible. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he could not be found, because God had taken him away. I said Enoch, one of the very much more obscure characters in the Old Testament. Let me read some of his story, or the whole of his story, from Genesis chapter 5. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Now, there's some stuff in there which is a bit difficult to get your head around, but there's one thing that is really significant. Enoch walked faithfully with God. It's just such a lovely description of relationship. Walking with someone. You see, Enoch didn't just know God in some academic sense. He didn't just acknowledge that God was there. He walked with God. And that's the second vital element of faith. Faith is not just about the head. It's about the heart as well. It involves a personal relationship with God. It means making a commitment to him. And I think that the big temptation for many of us is to walk without God, but then pop in to see him every now and again. But Enoch shows that faith is an all-day, everyday thing. The 18th century French Carmelite monk, Brother Lawrence, wrote a lovely little book called Practicing the Presence of God. That's what walking with God is all about. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Enoch shows us that faith involves personal relationship and commitment. It doesn't just involve acknowledging that God is there. It also involves recognizing his right to be God in your life. It involves knowing that you are loved by God and loving him in return. So faith involves head and it involves heart. But we haven't quite finished with what Hebrews 11 has to say on the subject. Because how can you know whether you've got that kind of faith? Maybe you can know about the head stuff, but what about the heart stuff? Well, as we heard, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And that takes us back again to the beginning of the Bible, the story of Cain and Abel. You can read that in Genesis 4. But the point is that Abel had faith, so he did something. And that's a repeated theme through Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel brought God a better sacrifice, a better offering. By faith, Noah built an ark. He did something. By faith, Abraham left his home and went to a new country. He did something. By faith, Isaac did something. By faith, Jacob did something. By faith, Moses did something. A real faith will affect the way you live, as well as head and heart. Faith involves hands. James again wrote, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If your faith hasn't changed the way you live, then it isn't the faith that the Bible speaks about. Of course, that doesn't mean that faith in God will make you perfect, but it will change you. You will start to have the same concerns as God. You'll start to become, even if only little by little, more like Jesus. Head, heart, and hands. Far from being something a bit airy-fairy or something purely theoretical and academic, faith is something that involves the whole of your life. And you see, if one of these parts is missing, then it's not faith in the biblical sense. You might be able to dot all the I's and cross all the T's of the creed, but if all it is some sort of academic assent, that's not saving faith. You might have had some real emotional experience, some deep physical, spiritual feeling, but if you don't know who God is, and if it hasn't changed your life, it's not saving faith. You might spend all your time doing good works and trying to be like Jesus, but on its own, that is far from being saving faith. Faith involves head, it involves heart, it involves hands. So what about you this morning? Is that a description of your faith? Maybe for years you've believed that God is there, maybe even that Jesus died for you, but it's never touched your heart, it's never changed your life. Maybe you've had some sort of spiritual experience in your life, but it hasn't led you to want to know more about God. It hasn't actually changed the way you live. And if that is you, just look again at the end of our reading. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Just knowing about God in your head is not the faith that allows you to please God. Just having some sort of experience of God in your heart is not the faith that actually means that you know God. Just doing all the right things does not mean you'll be pleasing God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And it's that last little bit that is a glorious invitation to stop trying to please God in your own strength, to stop being satisfied with just something that you thought of as faith, and instead actually ask him to give you the faith which pleases him. You see, it's really, really important. You cannot work this faith up in yourself. You cannot make yourself have that kind of faith. As we'll hear next Sunday, only God can actually give you that faith. But you can ask him to do that. Today, now, you can say to God, Lord, I realize that this isn't the faith that I have, but I want it to be. Please give me that head, heart, hands faith, which is the key to eternal life. And you can pray that with complete confidence, because he rewards those who earnestly seek him.